A full tank of gasoline, $47. Large coffee and a honey bun, $3. One pack of cigarettes, 23,148,844,308,184,500.
What?
Spending 2 hours on the phone, disputing the charge, and waiting 24 hours for the bank to correct the error and return your $15 overdraft fee? Priceless.
No! Don't put me on hold again!
There are some mistakes in life that are little. For the really big ones, there's your debit card company.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. End of the Winter Whiner. We all get sick of the cold, but with spring just weeks away, your constant harping on it really frosts us. Why don't you grow a pair, you sniveling, shivering sissy you?
What happened? Did they freeze off?
Oh, are your little toesies cold?
The Donner Party complainless, yeah.
So when the drama queen of dropping temperatures complains like he's a living client of cryogenics, be sure to give him a space heater and a cold shoulder to cry on. For he's Mr. End of the Winter Whiner, a real American hero.
End of the Winter Whiner.
Mention the cold snap one more time and I'll do the same thing to your neck.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Monday. It's April 12th, another rainy day in Southern California. And we're in the studio live.
Live. Ooh, I like that inflection. Live. That was fun. You should get into voiceover work.
Yeah. Men can't sound sexy with their voice, I don't think. Unless you're George Clooney.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't men sound... Yeah, they can. They can sound... Not like girly sexy, but they can kind of sound like, you know, hello.
Oh, yeah, that's
hello.
Right. Yeah.
Very, very like seductive.
Yeah. Hello there.
Oh, that's funny. Look at you. Hi. Woo. Auntie Al.
Yeah, that somehow doesn't sound very sexy. It sounds more like godly.
Yeah, that was fun, though. That was fun.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning, Kara?
Man, it's rough, Sam.
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good, but I've just had a crazy week of fun and crazy girl time. It's been just one of those. This is how LA is. You know, we always talk about LA. LA Talk Radio. But This is how LA is. You try to have structure. You try to have your routines. But inevitably, you've got friends that are having birthdays or people getting married, having bachelorettes, or, you know, you're kicking it or whatever. There's always something going on, and it just throws a monkey and a wrench in your monkey, whatever that expression is. throws a monkey in your ranch, smells a monkey in your ranch. And so it's hard to kind of stay on track with stuff. But I had a great week. I did. Ooh. It was fun. But it was just like, I think I have so much wine pumping through my blood right now.
Really?
Yeah. Washing it down with some coffee right now, and then I'm going to hit water later.
Yeah, so how did that all happen? I mean, what's getting you all excited?
I went on a couple dates with that Italian dude, which was a lot of fun.
Right.
And PG, but very fun. It's just so over the top, romantic. Everything's so romantic, Bella,
right.
Bella. And the wine.
But that was earlier in the week, right?
That was earlier this week, yes. And I mean last week. Went on a couple. And then
when he tries to nibble on your ear.
Neck, actually.
Yeah. Oh, your neck. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, but I had to have a talk, and so I don't think it's gonna go anywhere because I'm not really wanting that full enchilada. You know, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's getting it. So.
He's not the one.
No, I mean, but I mean, the thing is I operate differently, and I'm very open about it because I don't want people to feel, you know, misused or taken advantage of, or I just like to be open and honest. But see, guys, they don't care if you're honest. They really don't, because they have one objective, and not every guy, but generally they have one objective. And even if they hear what you're saying, it doesn't process because they think that there's hope. And so I was kind of waiting for him to kind of be like, oh, well, I'm having fun, or you know what, this is I want more, and so this isn't going to work. But he's not going to take that step. He's going to just keep trying to push it, and yeah. I'm just not really interested.
Yeah, you see, I would take the hint. I mean, the moment I heard no, I'd be out of there like a fucking rock.
Rock a man, huh? You're not gonna give it up.
I ain't wasted any more time here.
Yeah, well, we've had a great time. I mean, he's had fun. I've had fun. But no, yeah. I mean, if you're really wanting that, and it's just, I'm just not there. I'm not even thinking about that stuff, really.
Yeah.
To be honest, as of this week, you never know. Every week's different. But then, so I had fun with my Italian stallion friend, and then, well, it was, what did we do? Gosh, Claire's birthday was on Saturday.
Right. That's right.
But before that, we went out. Oh, yeah. Then I got a little part-time gig, a little part-time job in Century City. It's totally like, you know, a few days a week or whatever. But it's been rough just getting like little jobs here and there.
Right.
So, you know, we find any excuse to celebrate. So even though it's a part-time job, we're like, let's go celebrate.
Yeah. What kind of job? Office job?
No, it's like a front desk. Kind of front desk.
Front desk okay.
Hospitality type
Good.
Stuff.
Well, yeah. I'm proud of you. You know, I mean, you're taking steps, you know?
It's nothing to like. I mean, it's funny because my friends are so proud of me. I'm like, am I that much of a loser? We got to celebrate my part-time job. Good for you. Good for you. Way to do your part-time gig. Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, but it's been a little bit, you know, the market is rough. I mean, it's weird. I hate trying to keep harping on that, but it's different right now. If you're in the job market and you're looking, it's definitely like,
really?
Yeah, even crappy jobs. Oh my gosh, even crappy jobs are hard to find. Like you would think that there'd be, but there it's oversaturated. There's a lot of people that have degrees and a lot of people that are, you know, way overqualified that are, you know, waiting tables and things like that.
What kind of a company is it? Like a legal?
No, this is actually beauty spa type stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Century City is mostly lawyers and accountants.
Yeah, it's kind of an exclusive spa.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you know, it's just a few days a week.
Yeah.
And
that's cool. You probably get everything free there, huh?
I think I do get some hookups. So you never know. I might be coming in here looking like one big, you know.
Like spa'd.
I'll be like rested every day and like
Sounds
cucumbers
good.
On my
Yeah, eyes. Come in. Yeah, come in so mellow and everything.
And I'll be like, hey, I can't do the radio because I'm too zen. I'm too zen right now.
Yeah.
So we went to a happy hour and there's a great happy hour. The place is called Vinoteca. It's in Los Feliz off of Hillhurst.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Vermont? I think it's off of Vermont. Hillhurst. Off of Hillhurst, in between Franklin and Los Feliz Boulevard. It's called Vinoteca. Amazing.
Yeah,
it's a wine bar, but they serve a lot of great food. And we had ossobuco spaghetti. Have you ever had ossobuco?
Maybe, but I didn't recognize it by name. No.
Ooh.
What is it?
It's kind of like I think a braised type beef,
mm-hmm.
but it's in like this really great kind of butter kind of red sauce.
Wow, that sounds.
Oh,
interesting.
It's so decadent. Sarah and I split that. And it's just been like crazy fun and eating and everything. So this week is going to be like lots of workouts and lots of water.
Yeah.
But that's how life is, you know, ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But that was a really fun time. And then Claire's birthday was Saturday, which
yes,
you guys,
Saturday.
We were on the show Friday, kind of getting ready for her birthday on
Yes,
on Saturday.
We had both of your roommates here on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun show too, you know.
Oh man, it's just like crazy nuclear like intensity, isn't it?
Yeah. If you guys want to know what it's like to have three women living together, you definitely want to listen to the show from Friday.
Did you know anybody that listened to the show, or did you get any feedback? Because it's kind of...
In fact, I did.
You did? What did you hear? What did they say?
Do I want to know? Every man's wet dream, you know?
No.
Yes.
We talked about, like, farts and stuff.
So what?
But you said you don't even care.
The idea, you know?
What did you get? Did people email you or anything?
I got a couple emails.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. We get people from all over the world, you know? I mean, it blows me away.
Well, it's funny. I get a couple. I don't really get a lot of emails as far as the feedback from people, what people think of the show, unless they don't like me. That's not true. I get people that have found me on Facebook and stuff that are really
right,
cool.
Right, right.
Some cool people that way. It's fun to get feedback to kind of know what people think and stuff.
Yeah.
But in due time.
Yeah,
in due time.
So tell us about the party.
Had her birthday party, and the theme was the sizzling 60s.
Mm.
So, you know, of course, we start getting competitive about our outfits and, like, who's going to have the coolest outfit. We try to sabotage each other's efforts. Sarah borrowed, of course, she didn't have a lot of cool stuff, so she had to borrow a lot of my stuff. because that's how it goes. No, I'm just playing. And we started working on it, and I made cupcakes, and they both got white boots, you know, like the tall white boots,
right?
Like go-go dancers. Uh-huh. And I actually have a really pretty 60s dress already that looks kind of like the bride of Priscilla Presley type look. It just, it's short and lacy and really cute with bell sleeves, super cute. So I wore that and just souped it up, and we just did our hair really cool and our makeup really cool and had fun.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I mean, I worked hard on like kind of getting the food ready and doing cupcakes. So I was behind getting ready, and I was like, look, it's not my birthday, and normally, if I'm throwing the party, I have a little bit of an intensity about making sure everybody feels included and making sure that I talk to everybody. And
right.
It kind of starts to, it can be a little bit of work, you know, when it's your own birthday. But when it's not your own birthday, it is really easy. So I was like, okay, great. They can go out and entertain people. I'm going to take my sweet damn time getting this hair to look good.
Yeah.
So I took my time, and then I came out like an hour and a half into the party. It was nice and ripe. People were having good time.
Really? An hour and a half into the party? That's a long time.
It is, but I had a good time getting ready. I mean, I wanted to look good, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I had my
hair. Did you end up looking good?
I looked really good, actually. Yeah. I did double lashes on the top. So I did two layers of fake lashes to give it that real thick black look.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I had glitter everywhere, and it was really, really fun. But yeah, I just had a few drinks, and then we got the music going, and we were just dancing like crazy, and then...
How many people were there?
I'm going to say about 30.
30 people?
Yeah, about 30 people.
Wow.
Throughout the night, yeah.
And you fit them all in the apartment?
We did. I mean, we just kind of moved the couch and everything out of the way. So we have like our whole living room's pretty big, and we turned it into like a dance floor.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all kind of, but we're all kind of eternally like 13.
Right.
I mean, so we're not,
didn't care.
We're not like chic adults yet. We're not really, we're here to have fun.
Yeah.
If you're trying to go to like the cool, like impressive LA party, then our place wouldn't be it.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to, but if you want to go to a place that is a lot of fun and there's a lot of connection and a lot of people and different, you know, paths crossing and just really good fun, then that would be the kind of party.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of different types of experiences you can have out here, and we're not on that page.
And did you guys play 60s music? And
played
stuff
a little bit
background?
Of 60s music mixed with some dance music. Danced like crazy. Sarah and I, you know, Sarah's like my sister. So, like, I don't know what my thing is, but I like to pinch her and stuff like that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But wrestle and stuff. I like to do stuff like that. So I had a few drinks and I was like, hey, Sarah, we're dancing. And then I like, kind of pushed her a little bit. I don't know where this is coming from.
Yeah.
I just had to get my wiggles out, I guess. And so I kind of pushed her, and she almost fell into the TV, and Claire got pissed for a second. And then we brought it back home, and then, you know, people thought we were really fighting, but we were really fighting. We sound like a bunch of Neanderthals. Yes, I pushed her. But no, we had a great time, and what else did we do? And then, I had a really good time. Again, it wasn't my birthday, so it was easier. We played a game called the bag game. It's where you take a big paper bag and you put it on the floor, and everybody takes a turn you bending down and picking it up with their mouth, but you can't have your knees or your hands touch the ground. So you can bend, but you can't have the ground. And so after you do one round, then you cut off like an inch of the bag, and then you keep doing that consecutively till it's just the bottom of the bag on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And everybody has to try to get down and bite the bag with their mouth.
Okay.
And anyway, it's really funny. It's basically about flexibility, and then you can kind of do it posing and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like da-da-da-da-da, and then you jump down and do it.
Yeah.
So we did that, and a lot of people get into that.
It sounds like totally, like, unsexual, you know? I mean, there's, like, no electricity in the air. I mean, it's a party with 30 people.
I don't, what do you mean? There, like, are we you know, naked in a corner getting
No, on? Not something like that, you know, but people picking up other people
I don't really know. I mean, honestly,
pairing up.
This is going to, the parties that we've had predominantly, most of them, are just a lot of freaking fun.
Right.
And it's really funny, cool people that are, from all different walks of life.
It's a different kind of party.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can go to a club if you want to be creepy in a corner picking up a girl. I mean, why not
but
just go and have
about,
fun?
It's not about being creepy. It's just about, you know, I would think, I don't know, usually when I go to parties, I feel like there's like sexual tension in the air.
Well,
you know?
There's attraction. I mean, I know, like, I have one of my guy friends, he's always, like, anytime he comes to a party, he's always asked me questions about some girl.
Right.
I mean, he's made out about with about five of my friends.
Uh-huh.
And he's a great guy, but you know,
yeah,
you know, so it's
like
it's
he's
not
smart too.
It's just he's, you know, my point is it's not like that platonic, but
right.
It's not comfortable in my opinion when it has a meat market feeling. When
yeah.
It's one thing if people are naturally attracted to each other,
right.
And they're like hitting it off, that's fun.
Right.
But when people are like creeping, that's kind of gross because
yeah.
You're just wanting to have fun.
Yeah.
Let there be natural attraction. Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're, you know, all celibate and platonic or something, and
right.
Everybody's a eunuch.
Right.
It's not like that.
No.
But no, it's
only
a lot of...
You and you.
No.
Only you are you.
Are you kidding me? I have the most coolest outfit on, dancing. I mean, people are dancing
yeah,
sexual.
Yeah,
even though we're not doing like a mating
That's
call dance.
That's what I mean. Okay.
We're just getting our fun groove on, getting our wiggles out.
So some sensuous dancing there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just not gross and pervy.
Right.
It doesn't have a rapey vibe.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing.
No, I figured you'd say that. It goes without saying for you, because for you, there's like black and white. It's either that
no,
or it's that.
No, that's
you
not
know?
True. I think you're more black and white.
No, but why are you saying it's got to be pervy, you know?
No, because
why can't there just be electricity
you're,
in
No,
here?
You're the one that I'm telling you my party, and you're going... I don't sense any sexual tension or fun. And I'm like, well, you weren't there, yeah. So you don't realize it.
That's
but the
true.
Way maybe I'm describing it isn't painting that picture. But I find that more people, it's either this or that. It doesn't have to be this or that. It could just be fun. And then whatever mm-hmm. happens, happens. And
yeah.
I mean, my last birthday party was actually, it wasn't the best time. And a lot of people came that I didn't know. And I'm usually like the more the merrier, bring
your
Yeah,
freaking. That sucks when people crash your party.
Well, it was like, I have no problem with people bringing friends. I usually like that because it's fun. You meet new people that way.
Right.
But this tended to be, well, the theme of it was probably, for starters, just not the best theme. The theme was pinups and plumbers. So you dress up as a pinup or a plumber.
Uh-huh.
Well, it got funny, but... It was kind of like too many guys came looking for like a lingerie party or something.
Really?
And they were kind of trying to make it that kind of party. And I was like, no, idiot. We just want to have a fucking good time. Like,
yeah.
Relax, you know?
Right.
But it was gross. That I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to have fun and connection, not this like everybody's posing in their outfits and there's, you know, a meat market. That's just not fun. It's
yeah.
isolating. Whereas it's if you're, you know, just enjoying your time and being cute or whatever, that's different. But
yeah.
I don't know. So I didn't enjoy that. I think if you want that experience, you can go to a club. Why have a fun house?
Or a cool party.
Yeah. Not my house. Yeah.
So how late did it go?
I'd say about 3.
Really? That
yeah.
late, huh?
Yeah, about 3.
The neighbors weren't complaining?
We've had the police call us so many times. But see,
really?
They know when we have a party, it's going to end. They
yeah.
get more mad when we're just loud on an everyday basis.
Really?
If it's a party, they understand. Like, we had a Bible study at my house, okay?
Yeah.
We were laughing really loud, and Claire's got like this really loud drunk laugh she always does, and we're just laughing our brains out, and like just loving God, you know, reading the Bible and everything, and then this is what happened. We're like, yeah. Claire walks over, hello, LAPD.
Really?
No, really, who is it? Los Angeles Police Department. Huh? She opens up the door, and he goes, ma'am, you have a noise complaint. You guys have to turn it down. We're having a Bible study. We got the police called us for a Bible study. She goes, can you tell me who called? He goes, no. She goes, okay, bye. It was so funny because we're having a Bible study and we totally got the LAPD up on us. So.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, but we live in like older apartment buildings with you know, paper thin walls.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just,
that
you know.
Sucks.
Yeah. But, so yeah, more noise complaint for that. But the parties are loud, but people kind of know they're going to end eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a lot of...
So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, man, I had a good time.
Eating the paper bags and everything.
Eating paper bags.
Any other games
you guys played? We had a limbo. I don't know if we did the limbo. You know, limbo.
Yeah, you didn't play charades or anything?
No, we had a lot of... Shut up. You guys, Sam's like twice my age trying to make
Twister.
Me feel like... Sam's like twice my age trying to make me feel like an old grandma. Believe me, if you'd have been at this party, you would have had a blast.
Not an old grandma, a 12-year-old. Even the 12-year-olds. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not putting you down.
I just don't... I like... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a red-blooded woman. I mean,
yeah.
I like a man, but I would like... You know, I'm not like... trying to fabricate this party to fit that. If it happens, you happen to meet that, great. But
right.
So
there wasn't anybody that really interested you that night?
No, but that's that's generally the case. I'm not really attracted
really,
to
huh?
the most. Yeah, I've got I don't want to say it. Specific.
You're like really picky?
Yes and no. I'm very intrigued by people and open, and I think that I've been shocked with the kind of guys that I've been attracted to.
Really?
Yeah, I've been pretty shocked with, but sometimes what I see myself being with, the kind of person I see myself being with, is very specific as far as long term. Mm-hmm. But when I go out on dates and stuff, I've gone out with some guys that I wouldn't, for example, this Italian dude is pretty short. He's right. Pretty short, which is not my style.
I see.
Generally, I like really, really tall guys and really, really built guys. Ooh. And, you know,
yeah,
basically steamy hot men. No, I tend to like, oh, you're going to like this. So my part-time gig, you guys, listen up. This is my third interview for, again, like a spa.
For the same job?
Yeah. I mean, this is what I'm trying to tell you. This market's ridiculous. I'm like, come on. This is not brain surgery. I'm well overqualified. You're going to get your money's worth. You know, like, just look at, you know, interview me once. If you've got any brain cells, then let's just, you know,
yeah,
hire me, basically.
But, of course, you didn't say that.
No, because you have to respect
but
people's
you
process.
You thought that on the inside.
Well, because it's become so like this circus where people right. have so many great options to hire people to do their dumb job
right.
that they use it as a power trip to kind of put you yeah. through the ringer. And but they're actually really great people, but the process I thought was stupid. But yeah. anyway, that's my two cents.
Right.
So I get to the final interview, which is with the general manager of the whole place.
Right.
And out walks this man who's about 6'4". He's got blondish brown hair, he's tanned, and he has this killer smile, and he's built, and he's like got this awesome kind of smirky smile. So when we shake hands, I kind of felt like he liked what he saw.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh my gosh, this man is like super manly and super hot.
Really?
Okay, so we go into the interview.
Uh-huh.
Sam, I'm sitting there and I'm like fidgeting.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm getting a little hot. And and when I get really nervous, like my cheeks get really red.
Yeah.
So my cheeks were like flushed. And he's like, so this is just an informality. I mean, this is a formality, but I'm just going to do it really casual. Basically just get to know who you are. We don't need to see your resume. And I felt like it was a first date.
Really?
Kind of like, so tell me what things you like and things
so
like that.
So you were that nervous, huh?
It was, here's my thing. I'm attracted to awkward.
Right.
So if I feel tension, I kind of zero in on it and I kind of discover it in the moment and almost make it worse because I don't know why. It's just funny to me. So I'm noticing that I'm nervous a little bit, and I'm noticing that I'm really, really attracted to this guy because he's very masculine, you know?
Right.
Not just pretty. There's a lot of pretty people, but he's very masculine.
Right.
And he's just sitting there, and he's like, great eye contact, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I start giggling, and I know that he's like, what the hell is she giggling, you know? And I said, I'm really sorry. This is very unprofessional. I said, but you are like super good looking.
Really?
I told him that
you
in the interview.
You told him that?
I said, I can't handle it. I'm sorry. I just have to tell you that.
Wow.
I said it in the interview, and he starts laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like, good sign, you know, instead of not firing me before you even hire
Why
me.
Why would he? I mean, you gave him a compliment.
I don't know, because it's unprofessional. And
not for me.
And then I'm sitting there going, and I made a joke, and I was like, yeah, I'm just like, woo, what's going on in here? And I was like, just slapping the side of the wall. I was like, what's going on here? Woohoo! I said, yeah. I said, you must get that a lot. He's like, no, not really. And I was like, oh, really? But he is like a baby on the way and stuff, so.
Whatever. Oh, I see. Oh, too bad.
Too bad, but he's not married to her. But still, you know.
How do you know all that?
Because I found out the details. I have a friend that works there, and she's like, girl, get in line. She's like, get in line.
Really?
But she's like, I was like, why didn't you warn me? He was so damn cute. I mean, I don't mean just like good looking, but just that masculine thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think in LA it's very rare. You meet like the indie artists or the quirky comedians, or you meet people that are like super into themselves.
Yeah.
But where's a man who can freaking light a fire and like protect, you know, protect you? Or I mean, not that you need, like, we live in a society where you need that, but it's sexy. Like a man that's just a man. I'm a man. And it's not that common. So I'm really attracted to masculinity. And it's not always in like a 6'4", you know, super buff guy. There's
right.
a lot of different guys that are really masculine. Like this Italian guy is super masculine.
Yeah.
He's very like.
So now you'll have someone to look for. I mean, something to look forward to when you go to work and stuff. At least you'll be able to.
Yeah, but I'll be like nervous and I'll be like, oh, suck it in. Like, okay, make sure my hair looks good every day I go. But, you know, it doesn't matter because he's in a relationship, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I won't see him that much because he's like the big dude of the whole thing.
I see.
But I was really sitting there going, can I work for this guy? This is going to be weird. You know, I don't know if I can do it. But no, I've never done that. But I was like literally like giggly and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we're supposed to be together.
Really? Wow. That's a story.
Yeah, I know. In an interview. Who does that, Sam?
I know.
in a freaking interview. I do. Bring it
up. Well, I think guys, obviously, we do that, but still wouldn't say a word. I mean, I would never say to a woman that interviews me, you're like really hot or you're
really
good
looking.
Well, it's
really not. I mean,
women. You see, it goes the other way. That's what I'm saying.
It does, because, you know, women aren't predators, right? Women aren't sexual predators, really. And so men tend to be, or they can be. And I think that's why it's kind of more of a reserve, you know, and men need to like respect that, and women do too. But I mean, I did it in such a funny way. It wasn't
that's the thing. A woman wouldn't take it as a compliment, whereas a man.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're in a job interview.
Right.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, it was kind of inappropriate for you to say.
Very inappropriate, but I couldn't help it. I was like fidgety and nervous. He was asking me questions, and I was like, oh, I can't answer this right now. And I felt like we were on a first date without wine.
Really?
It's like, oh, we needed some wine right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like laughing, you know, like, ha, 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 I was laughing. And then I actually flipped my hair a few times. It's like involuntary stuff you do when you're like nervous and trying to be cute. You don't realize it.
But well, at least you were aware of it now.
Well, I was giggling and I was like, because I was going into that mode and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be like selling myself here. And then I'm like going into this giggle mode. It was funny, man.
That's cute though.
I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I just went for it. I'm like, you are a good looking man. And, yeah, you know, there are some people that have a quality about them that when they look at you and you talk to them, that they make you feel, maybe not on purpose, but they make you feel like they're zeroing in on you and that they're really focused on you and that you're really important in that moment. And it's a good quality to have, but sometimes, I mean, that's just who they are.
Right.
And they do it with everybody, but in that moment you feel like, oh my gosh, they are so into me. Shit.
Right.
They are so into me. What's the deal?
Yeah, and you like that. You like the attention. Obviously.
Who doesn't like attention?
I don't know. Some people don't.
Yeah, but what do they live? They live in a cave or something? I mean, how do you not like attention?
No, I think when you're like a celebrity and something, you know, when people haunt you all the time.
Okay, I think that's different because that's not really like, I don't know. I guess positive attention. I don't know. I think celebrities, they're just kind of stalked.
They get attention, but sometimes I think you just don't want to get any attention.
Yeah, and that's a price. We were talking about the celebrity life. That the price to pay for that is quite high. There's just something you reach a point to where there's no return. You can't go back.
Yeah, exactly.
You just can't.
And everything that you do, people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
You live in a glass house when you're famous.
Mm.
Yeah. So you're bringing a guest in today?
She's supposed to be here at 10 o'clock. Her name is Melinda Hill.
Okay.
She is really funny. She's really cute. I actually ran into her. I don't really know her very well or anything like that, but I saw this girl in a coffee shop who had amazing hair. She had beautiful blonde hair, and I was immediately jealous. And it was really long and really thick. And I was like, who's this bitch? This is not cool. But I looked at her, and she had a sweet face. I was like, oh, she can't help that she's so hot. And I went up to her, and I was like, look, I freaking love your hair. It's really gorgeous. Whatever. Yeah. No, but seriously, I was like, man, she's got really pretty hair. I went up to her, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you look so beautiful. Your hair looks great. I like to give compliments, too. Like, give credit where credit's due. I think it builds people up, and it's honest.
Yeah.
It's if you really think somebody looks good or you like something about them, it doesn't have to be physical, but I think there's something about actually releasing that emotion and that thought and gifting it to that person. I feel like blesses people. They just feel lifted. And
yeah, they do. But I think here in LA, people would wonder, what the hell does this person want with me?
Oh, absolutely. Because
people don't do that.
Well, people are very guarded, and I think that they need that. But there's so much craziness that people are guarded. But you know, if you just approach somebody humbly and really just like, hey, I just want to let you know, blah, 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 I really like this, or blah, 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 you know, I tell people a lot because I enjoy it when I hear it. Sometimes I've had people compliment me when I was just having one of the worst days, and it just really lifts you, you know, lifts you up. But anyway, I just literally thought, this girl has great hair. I'm totally jealous. Her hair is still pretty. I need to tell her. And I was like, you have great hair. Anyway, we started chatting, and she's a comedian, and she does a lot of one-woman shows, and she does the circuit in LA. And she invited me to a show, and so I went to go see, and she's got a lot of stuff on YouTube. But the cool thing about her, which I don't want to go into all of it because I'll let her tell you, but she's part of a her and two other comedians that are pretty prominent that started a really great show in LA called Tiger Lily. Mm-hmm. And it's just a cool, fresh show that has a lot of awesome comedians, and it's kind of off the beaten path. So it's great. It's one of these cool staples in LA that's not necessarily mainstream.
Yeah.
Although there's a lot of TV comics and a lot of really cool comedians that you would recognize that go in there. But I don't know. I just like this whole pioneering kind of, we're doing our own thing. We're putting our own show together.
Yeah.
And they've been pretty successful with it. But we'll let her kind of go into all that. But it's a great show that I'd love to promote because she's got a great lineup of comedians.
Yeah,
and
she's good.
Yeah, and she's really funny. And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
really beautiful, yeah.
Beautiful and funny.
Yeah, what That's a deadly
perfect.
Combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, a really deadly combo. I would know. No, just like...
Yeah.
But how are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing real well. Doing real well. I'm getting used to the color of my hair.
Yeah.
And some people actually said it looks good, so.
I don't think it looks bad at all. I actually think it's pretty subtle.
Yeah, I'm getting used to it. Kinda,
uh-huh.
You know?
Let me see. Turn your head again. Yeah, it's you guys, it's so subtle. I can't believe you haven't taken a picture yet.
No, actually, I did. Someone tagged me in a picture from yesterday.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah, so if you go to my page, you'll see. But you can barely tell, you know?
It's subtle.
Because my hair is really short now. But,
you buzzed it off.
Yeah. Well, not buzzed it off, you know, but it's pretty short.
And is your hair naturally curly, you said?
Yeah. It used to be, not anymore. You know, but it's not thin either. It's just, it's thick, but it's not curly.
Hmm.
I guess I wouldn't know. I always get it cut so short.
Hmm.
You know.
Maybe just let it grow out, see what happens.
No, when I let it grow too long, if I go like a month or over a month, it starts to look unruly.
Well, I mean, there's the growing out phase, which kind of sucks, but you can always kind of work around it, wear a hat or something till it gets to where some length you can do something with.
I see. What's his name? That guy with the long hair. Pablo? Not Pablo.
Fabio?
Fabio.
That's funny. Fabio.
Can you imagine me with hair like that?
That Italian guy has long hair.
Does he?
Well, it's like not long.
Do you like that?
It looks good on him. It doesn't look like girly. It's kind of like here, you know, to the, like the middle of the neck.
Right.
And it's kind of slightly wavy.
Mm.
And it looks like European Italian guy.
Yeah.
It's fun, you know? A different type of person, different guy.
What if he didn't feel any pressure to get you into the sack? Do you think that you would give him time of day?
Yeah, I love hanging out with him. We have great conversations. He's really funny. Culturally, he just has a different personality. He's, you know, it's very romantic. Everything about him is very romantic, and I don't mean that in such a traditional sense, but the traditional sense, but also in a I feel like he just really enjoys life. He is, you know, we go out to eat. It's just the wine is there. He enjoys the wine. It's you know, somebody savors life.
Right.
And they're fun. He loves to travel. He's just funny, and he's really funny. Everything's over the top, so it's hysterical.
Yeah.
But no, I can't, you know, I'm not on that page with him. I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much. I just, you know, not interested. And like, you know, we've kissed.
Oh, you have kissed.
We have kissed.
Yeah.
And it's just like his hands are like going for it way too quick.
Right.
And I'm not ready. And I'm like, no, not interested. It's like too much, too quick. It's like, you know, I don't know. You just kind of can tell. I mean, he's a very passionate guy, and like, I hope he's not listening. He's not going to listen. This is a problem with telling people I'm on the radio and then like going on a date with him.
So don't tell him you're on the
radio. I'm going to stop telling people. I'm not going to give him the address. I'm not going to give him the address because I have to have stuff to talk about, which is my crazy life. But no, there's too much. I feel like he wants to eat me.
Yeah.
Mhm. Like eat me.
Yeah. Eat you, or eat you like in your entirety?
My entirety.
Yeah. So he just wants to consume you pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not ready for that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well, in that case, yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, it's too much. It's like, come on now.
You're not ready for something like that. That's
no,
what it is.
I feel like it's like, there's something about it that's sexy, but there's also this like, really, come on now.
Yeah.
You know, how much does this have to do with me?
Yeah. So when you meet like the right guy, you're actually gonna just go with it, right?
I mean,
if it was that other guy that you saw, that really good looking one, right?
Oh, the one at the gym.
And he did the same thing. Yeah, and he did the same thing. Would you?
I don't know him because I mean, sexuality and attraction is so layered. It's not just physical.
Right.
And I need time, you know, to get to really know somebody and feel known. I want to feel known. I want to feel special. I don't want to just be a girl that's just fill in the blanks, and she's attractive and she's kind of there,
right.
And they don't really know me and they don't really care about me and nothing's invested. I mean,
even if they get to know you a little bit, you know.
No,
I mean?
I'm more than a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be number one in that person's life. I don't want to just be somebody that they're like, oh, you're the flavor of the next 2-3 months and interesting. You're interesting right now.
Yeah. But you can't really know if it's going to last or not, you know?
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah. You don't know. I mean, we're talking about like sex and everything, and you know, I've been open. I mean, I've had sex. I've been in relationships. But at the same time, I know what I really, really want. And can I say that I'm going to, you know, execute everything I believe? I hope to. I don't have, you know, the best track record with doing it. So, I mean, I'm being honest, you know. So, I mean, it's definitely something that I don't want to, like, get on my high horse and be like, no, I'm going to wait till I'm married to have sex. But that's the idea.
That's
what I want to do. And I feel like the more that I abstain from it, it becomes, I want to say, more manageable.
Yeah.
It's sexuality is an appetite, you know.
I just don't think you're going to find a guy that's going to go along with that, you know.
Well, that's
and
not
maybe
true.
The guy that does go along with that is maybe there's something wrong with him.
Well, I think that sexuality is something that is very, 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 very broad. And I think that you should, when you're with a partner, there should be an ever-increasing appetite for that person. Like,
yeah.
You should want to touch them and be all over them. You
right.
should want to.
Right.
So if you're with somebody and you guys are choosing to be abstinent till you're married, there should still be a tension. There should
right.
still be a desire that you have under control, but that it should be there. And if there's not a tension or desire, because I actually have a friend that's going through this, then you don't wait till you're married to figure it out. You go, okay, why is this not even here?
Right.
And, you know, there should be a really strong desire that grows and
right.
grows.
But I'm not saying that there isn't. I'm just saying that let's say there is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and you want the guy to really get to know you and for you to be his number one and
mm-hmm.
his everything and all that.
Yeah.
Now, how long are we talking about?
I don't know.
Before marriage.
Everybody's different. I don't know. I mean, months, year, I don't know.
So, yeah.
I mean,
you're expecting a man to be with you, be turned on and everything, and then yet not have sex with you for a year.
I've experienced that, actually.
Yeah,
so
I'm
I know with the right guy, you can have that.
Yeah.
It's not common, Sam.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But there are good guys that are functional sexually, that aren't weird or creepy, that can and want the same thing, they believe in the same thing,
right.
that are willing to stave the appetite, you know, and keep it under control. But I mean, that takes work. It takes discipline. Because it's not like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It takes
yeah.
work. It's not something that if somebody says they can just do that and it's easy, well, then I would question too. Do you have a pulse? Do you like me? You know, but, I've met men that are they're very disciplined in that area.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, it's not that they don't have the tension and they don't want it. It's just they don't put themselves in situations
yeah.
to let it get out of control.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
I don't know many men that would
well, there aren't many
put
men.
Up with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, put
so
up with
yeah,
it is a
yeah,
bad,
but,
bad way of putting
or
it.
Or go along with it. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's what it's all about. What do you want? What do you value? And how do you want it? And I'm not – I mean, I wasn't born yesterday. I realized that, you know – it's not common and it's not normative in this culture, specifically Los Angeles. But I've experienced it firsthand, and I know that there are some men that have the same value system
yeah.
that want to. But I mean, I don't, you know, we're on a radio, so I tell you pretty much everything. And, you know, I don't have to hear, I don't look at the people that are listening, so I don't know what they're thinking.
Right.
But I'll be honest, I mean, I don't go around advertising this stuff because.
Right.
First of all, just like you're looking at me like I'm freaking weird and like, what's wrong
I'm
with
not,
you?
I really am not.
Well, okay. My
yeah.
point is I don't...
I don't understand some things.
Oh, I know. And
I
totally respect and appreciate that you're very intrigued by it.
Right.
But, I mean, it is something if I were to go around advertising it. I mean, it's too exhausting to have to explain it to every single person and for them to... Because I think there's something about when people decide to abstain from anything sometimes...
Right.
People that partake in those things or would partake in those things, there's a weird kind of tension and kind of like animosity a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? why. Like, I'm suggesting there's something wrong with them because right. I'm not doing it.
Right.
Just like some people that don't, drink or whatever, and they're kind of, that's their thing. And then some people that do drink are kind of weirded out that they don't. And there's like a weird kind of subtle, like, well, are you saying there's something wrong with me? And it's there's kind of a weird tinge to it that I it has nothing to do with anybody else. I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to condemn anybody or say that they're bad or anything like that. I'm just, this is what I believe and what I aspire. And again, I'm human. I mean, I've totally, not done it before. I've missed the mark on it.
Yeah.
I'm open about it. So, but I've also experienced, waiting too.
Yeah.
And I know it's possible, so.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to understand for the common man.
It is. I mean, I just believe, I really do believe
that. I mean,
that,
I respect it. I really do, I mean,
but I'm not, like, I mean, there's nothing special about me. I mean, I'm just human and I want it just like everybody else. And I mean, I think God loves sex. God made sex. And I think sex is beautiful and it's amazing. I think sexuality is huge and broad, and that sex is about connectedness and oneness. I don't think it's just about the act.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of people that are having sex that aren't very sexy, that aren't very connected, that aren't very in oneness. There's a lot of people that aren't having sex that are more sexy.
Right.
And there's a real present. They're very present. They're very tuned in. And I just think it's kind of all symbolic of God too. Like, God is romantic and emotional, but yet there's, just the wild passion.
Yeah. You see, but every time we talk about sex, you invoke God, and that's what I'm thinking, is that I think you sort of like using that as a something to escape to, in order to sort of like explain what you're doing. It's I don't know, it sounds weird to me, I mean,
well, I think it is
you
kind
always
of,
go back to God when we talk
well,
about
well I can't
this.
Help it, because I think God is the author of sex, just like he made you and me, and I believe he's a creator. So he's the creator of sex, so why would I take the creation and try to be the author of it when I didn't invent it? And honestly, I think all creation here is to enjoy creation, explore creation, and we learn more about God indirectly through all of it.
Right.
And so I'm not trying to super spiritualize sex. I mean, it's awesome and it can be animalistic or whatever, but I'm also thinking there's so many different areas that sex goes into that it really makes me think about God.
Right.
And I know a lot of people don't think that way, but why not try to think that way? Why not look for God in everything to a degree? There's a wonder. There's like a mystery and it's beautiful. It doesn't have to, I mean, the world's constantly telling you that sex is all about consumption, and then you have an itch, you need it to be scratched, so you do it and it's done. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get that. That's all instinct and animal driven, and there's a part of that that I totally agree with, but for it to just be that, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something that it can be. It can be as simple as you want it to be. It can be as basic as you want it to be, but it can also be as amazing and wondrous and mysterious as you want it to be.
Absolutely.
It can. So,
and without having to get married. I think you can still have that without getting
well,
married.
I mean, I'm just telling you what I believe.
I know.
Yeah.
We're only talking about what we believe.
Well, there you go.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
trash rock. Let's get back to Sam and Kara in the morning.
Kara in the morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
So I'm looking at this headline here on CNN, and it says, Bishops Fight Sex Abuse Bill. And what this is about is, I guess, in the state of, I'll tell you what state it's in Connecticut. Apparently, there's been a statute of limitation on sex abuse.
What?
So, yes, and, you know, the under the current law, victims have 30 years past their 18th birthday to file a lawsuit. So in other words, after you're 48, you can't file a lawsuit. So now what they did is they repealed that statute of limitation and want to keep it open so people can always have access to the court. And so the church is opposing this. Okay? And my big question is, what the hell... you know, why would they try and protect sex abusers?
This is that lifelong conversation, and it just means like everybody else. It just infuriates me.
Right.
And it's sad, and it's everything. It's using God to hide behind, and
right.
I think that is in a way. I mean, it's totally misusing what the church should stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what like the jurisdiction that the church has had where you know they really aren't, I don't know if they're sued, I don't know how it works, but they have kind of this like protection from legal issues, and they kind of in-house everything. And I know that was originally designed so that they had freedom from the government. The government could not basically invade and rule the church,
right,
you know,
right.
Which I agree with. But at the same time, when you have people breaking the law,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't,
and then they try to protect them.
I mean, it's stupid. I don't know anybody that rightfully even. I've never heard one person that's even Catholic go, oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Everybody's pissed at that.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand
why.
Well,
but look what they're saying. They're saying that the legislation would undermine the mission of the Catholic Church in Connecticut, threatening our parishes, our schools, and our Catholic charities. You know, so I mean, I don't understand how is that going to threaten any of this, the fact that you can sue anybody and bring them to justice even 50 years after you've been abused, you know? So this is outrageous. This is outrageous.
I think that it sounds like one of these. I think that it sounds like one of these efforts that if they do it in this area, it's going to affect other areas, and the church is going, well, how it's going to affect other areas is against our, I guess I don't know, our rights.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think if the Catholic Church just would have stepped up a long time ago, and would have said, we're not protecting pedophiles, we're not protecting molesters, and they would have coughed them up,
right,
and let the police deal with them, then I don't think they would have been under this situation right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little too late, right?
Yeah.
A little too late.
Yeah. I mean, how do you possibly rationalize protecting, you know, sexual predators?
It says a proposal to extend the civil statute of limitations for sexual abuse cases could have a devastating financial effect. Of course, it's always about finances.
Yeah, it's always about the money, obviously.
Urging them, okay.
You know, but
I don't exactly understand what the...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they want to limit the time that people can actually sue. And, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they have, you know, statute of limitations on a lot of different types of crime, though, right?
Right.
With suing and things like that. So
right.
Is that something that shouldn't even exist, or what do you think? I mean, if something is 30 years past, 30
right.
years
but
is a long
gotta
time.
But you got to remember, I mean, they ruin people's lives forever, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't think anybody should go unpunished just because some time has passed.
Well, the thing is that I think about is, when it comes down to having a strong case against somebody and being able to have strong evidence, eyewitnesses, things like that. When it's that long, I just wonder how strong of a case it'll be. Because what can happen, and I'm just curious, is that when there is, you know, just this length in time, you know, things become fabricated, things become further and further and further away from the truth.
Obviously,
and so
yeah.
It makes it like a watered down case, which is why they might say, hey, 30 years, you know, yeah. We just, it's not that it didn't happen and that we don't care, but how can we prove it now?
Yeah.
And maybe you still can, but... maybe that's kind of the reason why, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you prove something like that? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Generally, it's eyewitnesses, which are, you know, or there's... Well, it just depends on how they're violated.
Yeah, usually there aren't any. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I just think that the Catholic Church is just long overdue for getting their act together. But, I mean, who are they fooling? I mean, I don't know how they've been able to get away with it for this long.
Yeah. Getting away with a lot of things.
I mean, thousands and thousands of kids.
Yeah.
That have been violated, and it's just...
And it's the ultimate break of trust, you know? The ultimate betrayal, I think.
I kind of feel like when you have a government institution or you have a religious institution, and then they start becoming predators mm-hmm. and not protectors of truth and not protectors of the innocent and vulnerable people, then to me... the credibility of that institution doesn't exist. That's no longer a law. That is,
right.
this is no longer a government. This is a, these are costumes that they're wearing.
Right.
And they're like mafia.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't.
That's essentially the way it is.
Yeah. And if you look at a church that, I'm not saying that all Catholics, I mean, there's a lot of great Catholics and there's a lot of great leaders that are Catholics. I mean, but as the organization, the institution is harboring and protecting these predators and then allowing them to continue to have their fill.
Right.
I mean, all they're doing is just positioning them in another place to where they can harm kids.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be getting any preferential treatment, I don't think, from any other predators, you know?
No, I agree with you. I'm like, why do they get to do this?
Yeah.
Really, is this God? God really want
no,
there to
No, it's
be?
An institution. It's politics. I mean, they've got their own country, you know, in the Vatican, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they're a huge, huge institution. There's so much influence that they have that they need to take a certain amount of responsibility, I think. You know, and they're not doing that.
Yeah, I think it's really sad. And I also wonder, like, you know, how many people that are, you know, searching for God and looking for God and then are just constantly turned off by the representatives.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know? I mean, these are not the messages from God, I'm sure.
No, they're not.
Whatever they give to us.
Nope.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to this kind of stuff, no, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the number one movie in the box office was Date Night.
Really?
Yeah, and that's with Tina Fey and Steve Carell. And... I don't know. It sounds pretty funny, you know?
I've heard it's really funny, but it's better rental. Like, it's a better rental. But I've not yet
probably,
seen it, so
yeah.
I need to go see it.
It just started, I think, and it made $27 million, which is not a big deal, but...
But that's pretty good still. I mean, I love the two actors. I love, you know, Tina Fey and Steve Carell. I'm sure that they're super fun in it. But I've heard it's not like a great blockbuster or anything. It's more of a...
Yeah, it's just a romantic comedy. Usually those are not that big, you know?
Yeah.
They're popular for a week or two, and then nobody goes.
I don't know. Are you going to go see it with your wife on a date?
Am I going to go see a chick flick? I don't think so.
Ever?
Well, sometimes I do.
Don't try to be
She
too
dragged
cool.
me to Sex and the City, the movie.
Okay, well, that's a little bit abusive men. That's abusive towards men.
yeah,
the,
by
the
being
movie.
Boring.
That's you what know? I mean. Like, it's just, yeah. it's not, it doesn't interest guys, really.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple guys I know would watch it that are straight. But
yeah, I mean, I tried. I really tried, you know, but then I had to leave in the middle.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's funny. What do you guys normally go, when you guys go out, do you guys go out on dates? Where do you go? Movies, dinner?
Dinner, usually, yeah.
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 And movie time, do you usually
movies,
pick a movie?
We haven't been to the movies in a long time.
Really?
But I find that I fall asleep now at movies, you know?
Really?
Yeah, so I have to go during the day, I think. Because by the time, you know, if you go to a movie at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I don't know. You know, it happens to me with TV, too. That's why I don't watch much of it, because it's a passive act, you know, and I fall asleep when I do that. On the other hand, if I read or on the computer, I could stay up very late.
How's that Jackie Collins novel going?
Oh, man, that's the second one I'm reading now.
Really?
Hollywood Divorces. Man, let me tell you, I can't put that thing down.
Well, tell me a little bit about the book and what intrigues you so much about it.
It's about movie stars,
mm-hmm,
and their husbands and what assholes the husbands are, and everybody's fucking around and everybody else. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of revenge and conniving and, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's juicy, you know?
Mm.
It makes you wonder if this is really happens, you know, in those people's lives,
mm-hmm,
you know. But, you know, you get like the inside on how they make a movie and they fall in love and or in lust, you know. And,
mm-hmm,
yeah, everybody's screwing everybody else. They're
wow.
Co-stars. And so it's, I don't know. I kind of find it, you know, being fun because I read a lot of serious books, you know. So this is kind of like a guilty
pleasure.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure. But you can't put it down?
No, I can't put it down.
That's funny. Now, would you go to a coffee shop and bust that book out and read it?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
I don't know much about. I didn't know much about her novels. I mean, I've heard of her, but so I didn't know if there's like a. This is only a chick, you know, thing or whatever. And
maybe it is.
No, but I like.
But
that you're,
I like to read it.
I like that you're busting it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to when I was in my 20s. I used to smoke Virginia Slims because I thought they were cool. Being a little thinner and long and
you know.
So
oh,
I smoked
man.
That. That was embarrassing, kind
was
of.
Was it?
Yeah, but it was a good cigarette at the time.
Virginia Slims.
So I'm
funny.
Not afraid of that. Yeah, I mean, I'll read like I remember when I was a teenager, I'd read all these like those teen magazines, mm-hmm, you know, with all the celebrities and you know all the kid stars and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, at the time it was John Travolta and David Cassidy and mm-hmm, you know all that in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like Tiger Beat, you know.
Yeah. That's funny.
Or Teen or whatever it was.
That's
you know?
Funny.
Yeah. So I don't mind. I mean, I get into women's stuff completely. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You're one. You're a very
curious,
open guy.
You know? Yeah. I get very curious.
I think that you've got a real openness about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that about you.
Thank you.
I
Thank
like that you.
You
that you're kind of like no subjects off limits and
yeah.
You're
and plus,
really
I'm like what you see is what you get. You know, I mean, I'm not a bullshitter. You know.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I know that's the funny thing about you because when I remember when I first met you with Mayan, the girl that we both auditioned, and I beat her out for the part. Okay,
yes,
and I
just did.
Like, no, she's awesome. But we were both leaving, and she was like, "Did you get any feedback from that guy or anything?" I said, "Nope, I have no clue what he's thinking." She's like, "Neither did I." I said, "Yeah, I know." You were like, "Okay, bye." And we're like, "Oh, okay. So we're gonna hear from you." You're like, "Well, okay, go."
Well, what do you want me to do? You know.
I know it's just funny because you have a very cut and dry kind of, and if you don't know you at first, you're kind of like,
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, because here you're all smiling and you got your big little smile on and you're like, well, crazy. Sex. Tell me more about sex. And you're like laughing and you want to know about everything.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, when you're doing business, you're a little bit more like, okay, bye. Done. Like when Sarah first met you, like Sarah and Claire love you. They think you're awesome. But when Sarah
Thank
first
you.
Met you, she was like, yeah, I couldn't read him. I didn't know if like you didn't like me or anything.
Really?
I was like, no, he's totally cool.
Yeah.
He loves everybody.
Yeah.
No, but you've got that like kind of.
Yeah, well,
pop,
I gotta be
face,
careful.
Pop,
I can't salivate
face.
Over people either. You
no,
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think your friend is here?
Let me go check.
Yeah.
Or should we go to
break?
Well,
yeah, we'll take a break.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free, original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Above and beyond.
phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Did you hear about the Polish president dying in a plane crash?
No, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, and some other leaders were on the plane too, so it kind of threw Polish politics into a turmoil, I think. But it's probably not going to be a big deal, you know, because they've obviously already have some people in place.
Well, I was just about to say, you know, they got a backup plan? I'm sure they do, right?
I'm sure, yeah. They have a plan B, I'm sure.
Mm.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for her phone number. I want to make sure she's on her way. I'm like, girl, you're supposed to be on our radio right now.
Yeah, let's call her on the...
let's call on the radio?
On the air?
We could have done a phone interview with her.
That's true.
She's freaking funny, man.
Except it's not the same.
It's so, not the same. I love it when they come in because you get that, you know, super awesome kind of, you know...
Yeah. I don't understand guests, though. You know, I mean, if you were invited to a... radio interview, wouldn't you be there like a little bit before?
Well, I definitely agree with you. I mean, it's LA for you. I mean, I'm
yeah,
late.
It is LA.
I know. I'm kind of late to everything
it's
myself, so
thing.
It's one of those things where I don't know.
No, you always get there on time.
Well, my point is, yeah, it's just, it's funny. It's kind of like hard to manage for me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm with you on some of that stuff.
Yeah. One. Those are huge earrings you're wearing today.
Don't you like them?
Yeah.
I love them.
Well,
they're
I
fun.
Don't know if I like them, but...
Well, whatever. But my point is I think they're cute.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Hopefully she makes it because I know that we did firm this up. I know she wasn't feeling well, which is why we rescheduled for Monday.
Mm.
So we'll see. Give her the benefit of the doubt. Oh, here we go. Okay, this is what I got. OMG, just woke up. Alarm didn't go off. Could I be there? I could be there in 30 minutes if I leave now, or should I just come in tomorrow? I'll be like, leave now. No, Melinda, you're coming in. Leave now, girl. Okay.
She'll never make it.
You don't think so?
No, she won't make it to the end of the show. Where does she live? Do you know, like, general area?
Let me just find out. Where do you live?
Yeah.
If close, come on down.
Yeah. 30 minutes. I mean, that's going to leave her 10 minutes to be here. Now, forget about it.
Well, I just wrote her to see where she lives. I said, if she's close, come on down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Shit happens, you know. Sometimes people just, their alarms don't go off, and they happen to need to be on a show.
It amazes me how many people's alarms don't go off. How come mine always goes off?
Really?
Yeah. Every time I set it, it goes off.
You've never had your alarm not go off?
No.
Really?
I definitely haven't used it as an excuse, that's for sure.
That's funny. Well, I've used it as an excuse, but I've also had it happen to me several times. Like, I have it on my phone,
uh-huh.
And sometimes my phone has it for... It just doesn't sometimes work.
Yeah.
But I don't intend to need an alarm. I'm pretty good alarmless.
I tend to
kind of wake up around the same time.
Really?
Unless I've had a... That's why if I oversleep, it's kind of weird.
Right. Are you able to get up without a clock?
I kind of am, although it's good to have a backup plan, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, normally I could just wake up around 7.
Yeah?
Yeah, around 7.
Yeah.
6:30,
well,
7.
Well, I wake up at 7, but then I go back to sleep. Or at 6:30, and then
I
go
usually
back
I wake
to sleep.
Up at 6:30, and then I kind of sleep it till...
Yeah.
Till 7.
Yeah,
but I've had a pretty good internal alarm clock.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They make fun of me. They say I go to bed too early, though.
Yeah? Like what time? 11?
Yeah, 11, 12. They think it's too early.
Yeah, well, they don't have to get up in the morning.
No, they
right?
don't. No.
Yeah, so it's easy for them to say.
No, I know. One time, my roommate was like, "You just don't like people to challenge you," and I was like, "No, wake up before noon."
Yeah.
And match me hour for hour that I've put in on some of the stuff I've done, and then we'll talk about challenge.
Yesterday, Sunday, I slept until 10,
That's a good feeling.
I felt I could have gone on even longer. But I just had to get up. You know, I don't like ruining the morning by sleeping.
Oh, yeah?
You know, but 10 o'clock for me is very late. Yeah.
Mm.
You know.
So how's everything going home life? How are you and Dina doing?
We're doing fine. Why are we going there?
Because I always reveal... I always talk about my life all the time.
Yeah, but my life is boring because I'm married.
Really? Is it that
boring?
Yeah.
And we work a lot, you know? So, yeah. There's not much excitement. You know, you have to understand this. When you're single... you go out more, you know, you get together with friends more, and you do more stuff, you know?
Well, I kind of understand that, you know. I've got to say something that I've realized is my friends that are married, or one of my friends has a home and a dog, and just, I mean, great people. I love them to death. But I find that it doesn't really matter what I'm about to say, because people are going to live their lives. Everybody's going to have a different life, and that's just the bottom line, right?
Right.
That's just how life is. But
right.
I'm noticing the more people start to build the home and build the family, it becomes this thing that makes them more and more unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of becomes this, it's like your empire. Now you've got your empire, and you got to manage your little empire and your little kingdom, and you got to manage everything, make sure everything's in its place. It's not going to take care of itself. And so
right,
when you come over
right.
to say hi, they're like fragmented 10 minutes that you get to really connect.
Yeah.
I'd kind of rather go, look, if you don't really want to put in some time and really connect, then
yeah.
don't call me, and
yeah.
we'll do it when you have time. But I mean, I love my friends so much, I don't give a shit. I'll still do 10 minutes of you know, crappy connecting
right.
over a course of an hour, but we only connected for 10 minutes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And like my other friend, she's amazing. I love hanging out with her, but she's always running around, and she's shifting stuff, and she's, you know, fixing this, and she's like, oh, I was hoping maybe we can run some errands. I'm like, stop. Like, spend time with the person and invest in that person.
Right.
Instead of trying to fit them into your schedule and on your turf and in your kingdom and in your little house and in your little stuff.
Right.
Like, connect, or don't do it, and say, I can't do it because I got too much to do. I have too much going on.
Right.
I mean, I don't mind doing mundane things with friends if they need to run errands, but I've started just realizing that it's something that we can all fall into. I've fallen into it, so it's not a self-righteous thing, but I've noticed that people get busy and they get so stuck in their own lives that they just expect that when they do want friends, the friends need to come to them and meet them on their turf.
Yeah, you know. And
it's like, friendship takes work.
Yeah.
It takes work. It's a two-way street, you know? And I realize, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of anything going on when it comes to, like, family, and I don't have those obligations. So I'm not saying that they need to be as available as somebody that is single.
Right.
I guess I'm just talking about quality over quantity.
Right.
That when you do, you know, you really value that person, that you go, okay, I am going to take time out instead of have you come over and we're going to do, like, weird, busy stuff together, blah, 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 not really connect.
Right.
It's
yeah.
like, no, I'd rather see you less and it be more infused with great conversation and more connection than
mm-hmm.
this really weird, busy kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
but
what
there's
I know.
Different kinds of friends, you know? I mean, so with each friend, you do something else, you
mm-hmm.
know? It's not like the same. So sometimes you have a friend you go to have coffee with. You know, one friend you might have, you share a lot of things with, you
mm-hmm.
know? One, excuse me, you go work out with or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Well, and I understand that. I guess what I'm talking about is when people are so into their own world
mm-hmm.
that the idea of having time with a friend is, how can I fit you into my schedule so I can kill three birds with one stone?
Right.
To me, that's indirectly disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's not that they're trying.
It is. I mean, they're
not trying to. They're not trying to be. And these are some close friends of mine. So I
yeah.
love. They're awesome. They're awesome. Like, we don't have to have, you know, 3 hours of eating lunch and chatting every time we see each other. But
right.
you know, if we're only going to hang out for an hour, maybe turn your phone off, or maybe, like, you know, let's go meet somewhere where you're not distracted by the things in your house.
Right.
Because
focus
to me, it's
more
kind of,
on me,
yeah.
Other.
Or just, you know, really, because I just think that when friends get together, there's just such richness and
right.
there's such a refreshing experience that can happen.
Right.
When you really connect. I mean, go on a hike or something. I mean, not that it has to be sit down and stare in each other's eyes. I'm just saying, quality over quantity. And if you don't really see that person, you know, take time to, like, connect.
Yeah.
And listen and ask questions, as opposed to, like, running around, being busy.
Yeah.
It starts to irritate me.
Well, justifiably so, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I have really good friends that do that. I'm like, what? I'm about to have a sit down. I think I have a little sit down with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I feel like playing some George Carlin.
Please do.
Do you like George Carlin?
Yes, I do. Bring
okay.
it on.
Okay, and this one's about the religion. I think we only heard a very short part of it one time, didn't
we? Oh, that was
we?
Funny when he was like, bullshit.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen. It's pretty cool.
The bullshit department. The bullshit department. A businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. in awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest. Religion. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-perfect, all-knowing, and all-wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit. Thank you very much. But I want you to know something. This is sincere. I want you to know, when it comes to believing in God, I really tried. I really, really tried. I tried to believe that there is a God who created each of us in his own image and likeness, loves us very much, and keeps a close eye on things. I really tried to believe that, but I gotta tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up. Something is wrong here. War, disease, death, destruction, hunger, filth, poverty, torture, crime, corruption, and the ice capades. Something is definitely wrong. This is not good work. If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed. Results like these do not belong on the resume of a supreme being. This is the kind of shit you'd expect from an office temp with a bad attitude. And just between you and me, in any decently run universe, this guy would have been out on his all-powerful ass a long time ago. And by the way, I say this guy because I firmly believe, looking at these results, that if there is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this. If there is a God, if there is, I think most reasonable people might agree that he's at least incompetent and maybe, just maybe, doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit. Which I admire in a person and which would explain a lot of these bad results. So rather than be just another mindless religious robot, mindlessly and aimlessly and blindly believing that all of this is in the hands of some spooky, incompetent father figure who doesn't give a shit, I decided to look around for something else to worship. Something I could really count on. And immediately, I thought of the sun. Happened like that. Overnight, I became a sun worshiper. Well, not overnight. You can't see the sun at night. First thing the next morning, I became a sun worshiper. Several reasons. First of all, I can see the sun.
Okay.
Yeah. Unlike some other gods I could mention, I can actually see the sun. I'm big on that. If I can see something, I don't know, kind of helps the credibility along, you know? So every day I can see the sun as it gives me everything I need. Heat, light, food, flowers in the park, reflections on the lake. An occasional skin cancer, but hey, at least there are no crucifixions, and we're not setting people on fire simply because they don't agree with us. Sun worship is fairly simple. There's no mystery, no miracles, no pageantry, no one asks for money, there are no songs to learn, and we don't have a special building where we all gather once a week to compare clothing. And the best thing, The best thing about the sun, it never tells me I'm unworthy. Doesn't tell me I'm a bad person who needs to be saved. Hadn't said an unkind word. Treats me fine. So, I worship the sun. But I don't pray to the sun. Know why? I wouldn't presume on our friendship. It's not polite. I've often thought people treat God rather rudely, don't you? Asking trillions and trillions of prayers every day. Asking and pleading and begging for favors. Do this, give me that, I need a new car, I want a better job. And most of this praying takes place on Sunday, his day off. It's not nice, and it's no way to treat a friend. But people do pray, and they pray for a lot of different things. You know, your sister needs an operation on her crotch. Your brother was arrested for defecating in a mall. But most of all, you'd really like to fuck that hot little redhead down at the convenience store. You know, the one with the eye patch and the club foot. Huh? Can you pray for that? I think you'd have to. And I say, fine, pray for anything you want. Pray for anything. But what about the divine plan? Remember that? The divine plan. Long time ago, God made a divine plan. Gave it a lot of thought, decided it was a good plan, put it into practice. And for billions and billions of years, the divine plan has been doing just fine. Now you come along and pray for something. Well, suppose the thing you want isn't in God's divine plan. What do you want him to do? Change his plan? Just for you? Doesn't it seem a little arrogant? It's a divine plan. What's the use of being God if every rundown schmuck with a $2 prayer book can come along and fuck up your plan? And here's something else, another problem you might have. Suppose your prayers aren't answered. What do you say? Well, it's God's will. Thy will be done. Fine, but if it's God's will and he's going to do what he wants to anyway, why the fuck bother praying in the first place? Seems like a big waste of time to me. Couldn't you just skip the praying part and go right to his will? It's all very confusing. So to get around a lot of this, I decided to worship the sun. But, as I said, I don't pray to the sun. You know who I pray to? Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Two reasons. First of all, I think he's a good actor, okay? To me, that counts. Second, he looks like a guy who can get things done. Joe Pesci doesn't fuck around. Doesn't fuck around. In fact, Joe Pesci came through on a couple of things that God was having trouble with. For years, I asked God to do something about my noisy neighbor with the barking dog. Joe Pesci straightened that cocksucker out with one visit. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a simple baseball bat. So I've been praying to Joe for about a year now. And I noticed something. I noticed that all the prayers I used to offer to God and all the prayers I now offer to Joe Pesci are being answered at about the same 50% rate. Half the time I get what I want, half the time I don't. Same as God, 50-50. Same as the four-leaf clover and the horseshoe, the wishing well and the rabbit's foot. Same as the mojo man. Same as the voodoo lady who tells you your fortune by squeezing the goat's testicles. It's all the same, 50-50. So just pick your superstitions, sit back, make a wish, and enjoy yourself. And for those of you who look to the Bible for moral lessons and literary qualities, I might suggest a couple of other stories for you. You might want to look at The Three Little Pigs. That's a good one. It has a nice, happy ending. I'm sure you'll like that. Then there's Little Red Riding Hood, although it does have that X-rated part where the big bad wolf actually eats the grandmother, which I didn't care for, by the way. And finally, I've often always drawn a great deal of moral comfort from Humpty Dumpty. The part I like the best, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's because there is no Humpty Dumpty and there is no God. None, not one, no God, never was. In fact, I'm gonna put it this way. If there is a God, if there is a God, may he strike this audience dead. See, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Everybody's okay. All right? Tell you what. I'll raise the stakes a little bit. If there is a God, may he strike me dead. See? Nothing happened. Oh, wait. Got a little cramp in my leg. And my balls hurt. Plus, I'm blind. I'm blind. Oh, now I'm okay again.
Okay.
George Carlin.
So I'm getting that he doesn't believe in God. And he thinks it's a bunch of BS.
It's all in the name of laughter.
Oh, I know. It's funny.
And I think it's very, very funny.
Well, no, I mean, he's got some funny points. He's actually got some truthful points, too.
Oh, yeah, because he captures the, the reality of things.
Mm.
Yeah.
I thought, he's one of those comedy pioneers, too, that is really kind of just one of the forefathers of stand-up.
Yeah, you got to be able to laugh at yourself, you know, otherwise.
Oh, I do. I laughed at it.
Yeah.
I was scanning a few things, and I found this article on this woman, this girl. She's 18.
Mm-hmm.
So get this. Her name is Yoshida. Eri Yoshida. She's from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an 18-year-old pitcher who played pro baseball in Japan last year.
Yeah.
She just signed with the Chico Outlaws of the Golden Baseball League. The team, she said, will report to spring training next month. So she's doing the minor leagues here in the U.S. The first woman. Yeah.
In an all-male team?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
And apparently she's known for her knuckleball. That's true.
Okay.
Like, she throws a damn good knuckleball, and so they freaking recruited her.
Really? A chick from Japan?
Chick from Japan.
Well, I'll be damned.
I just think that that's so cool. She's 5 feet tall, 114 pounds, and, you know, she's Japan's first female pro baseball player. And, I kind of wonder a little bit more about her knuckleball to see the speed of it. But I don't know if, if she can strike out batters, why not?
Yeah.
A lot of times they just recruit people for specific parts, and
that's right.
They don't necessarily have to be heavy hitters. Can you just keep throwing that knuckleball? Do what you do.
Yeah.
Do it, you know.
Be a specialist at what you do.
Well, yeah, my friend's dad, actually, his name is Steve O'Neill. He played for the New York Giants or Jets, I can't remember which one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for football for having the longest punt ever.
Really?
Ever, yeah. And he was just hired to punt. That was it.
Yeah.
Come out and do what you do.
Yeah.
And he does it really well. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, that's so really cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's cool. I like seeing the playing field with women kind of doing their thing, and just because it's so not normative either for a woman to have the same kind of skill or better on something that's predominantly a man's playing field.
Yeah, there you go. You know, it's like an all male club. You know,
mm-hmm.
All those players and stuff.
Yeah.
So you know that we're almost on April 15th, it's 3 days away, actually, 4 days away.
Time to TurboTax this shit, literally. Let's turbo it.
For 3 days, yeah.
Hey, turbo!
And, I'm sure many people are going to file for an extension.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a knee-jerk reaction almost for some people, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll buy another 6 months for myself. But I just as soon get it done, get it out of the way, and move forward, you know? I just can't believe it's April 15th already.
You know, it's just, it's fast. It's, everything's fast.
Yeah,
everything
goes very fast, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
When is your birthday? Did you just have a birthday?
No, not yet. May 10th.
Okay,
next
you're
month.
Oh, okay, you're going to do anything fun?
You know, it's going to be my 50th.
That's a big one.
It is a big one.
Oh, my gosh. What are you going to do?
I don't know. We're still trying to work it out and figure out what to do.
Do you want
to
do like a big friend thing? I'm all inviting myself. Do you want to do like a big friend thing? Or is like a...
I figure I can do the friend thing and go somewhere.
You should.
Travel somewhere.
First of all, I mean, you own this thing, right? You own LA Talk Radio. Pull rank, man. Make people come and kiss your ass and, you know, drink a drink.
That's true,
and,
huh?
You know, be like, yeah.
I can pretend I have a lot of friends.
You know, pull rank, have them all there talking about what they know, and, you know, fiery little personalities. Get them in.
Yeah, but I'm going to have fun, you know.
You should.
I think when someone hits middle age like this, they should be allowed to, I don't know.
What? Say it. What do you
have
not
all
saying?
The sex they want? No, don't you think?
You got
I
a wife.
So, yeah.
Does she not? Is she not into it or what?
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Okay, well, I don't understand how it works then, because you're married. I thought one of the perks is, you know, sex a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I mean,
true.
I know that you've said this several times.
But yeah, I've told you.
You're
know,
like,
you've
never been married, you don't know, and I
you
guess...
You just need to be reminded of what it was like to be single, you know?
Well, is it really the... Maybe it's just the grass is greener, man. Do you really want to be single?
No. I'm not saying I want to be single, but I wouldn't mind partying a little bit on my 50th birthday.
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go out fun. Pack all your friends there. Have some great drinks. Uh-huh. Dina can put a wig on or something. You know,
you
she can come out. Have
work?
Her, yeah, have her pop out of a cake.
Yeah.
Would she do something like that?
Not in this lifetime.
No, she wouldn't.
No.
She could do it. She could do it more conservative. She doesn't have to be wearing like a bathing suit or anything. She could just, you know, be wearing like a cute outfit.
Yeah.
Pop out of a cake, sing you a song.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
It's just amazing how I'm getting, you know, the older I get, the more conservative I get, you know.
You're talking things. About how you want to have crazy sex with everybody in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, but that's
how
not
that
what I mean. I mean that I used to, I don't know. I mean, I used to be into anything, you know. But I guess that's age, right? I mean, in your 20s, you'll get into anything. What the hell?
So what do you mean now? How do you feel now? Like you said, more conservative. In what way?
Yeah, that I wouldn't jump out of a cake, and I don't think my wife would, you know. Now, you know, in your 20s, you probably do these crazy things.
Why wouldn't you want to jump out of... Well, it's more of something a woman would do, but why wouldn't you want to do that? Even if there weren't, maybe...
Because it just seems dumb, you know?
Are you kidding?
No.
Okay, you're sitting there, your friends are there, everybody's yeah. having drinks,
uh-huh.
the cake comes.
Right. And
know?
I jump out of it?
No, not you. It's not sexy.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant.
No, I'm saying Dina jumps out of it. Your wife, yeah. your woman jumps
oh,
out
yeah,
of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that would be cool.
And she's wearing something really hot and maybe a right. cool wig and some great makeup, and she's like... Happy birthday to Sam. Happy birthday. And it's over the top. It's funny, uh-huh. but it's sexy. You know, it's fun.
Yeah,
spectacle.
That's true.
Would she do something like that?
No.
She wouldn't?
No.
No,
you would, right?
Hell yeah, I'd do
you
it.
See?
I'd
you,
do it. I would do it even if it wasn't my man.
You're still young. You don't
it's fun.
Care.
I like
yeah.
to perform, though.
Yeah.
I like performing, so I'd want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Even for, like, you know, somebody that wasn't my friend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just sign me up. I'll do it. That's cool. No, I mean, I don't think I would. But I think that it's fun, you know,
yeah.
to make people feel special and stuff.
It is fun. Yeah, it is for sure.
Just know? Having fun, a good dance time. I mean, really, if you just get your wiggles out, you just need to get some dancing on.
Yeah.
Go out, have a couple drinks, go dance. You don't need to be humping the wall or anything.
Right.
You just go out there, you know, to some Lady Gaga, you know, have fun.
Yeah.
No? He's looking at me like, what the hell did
yeah,
you come from?
Yeah, what the
from?
Hell are you talking
He's like,
about?
Look at me, I'm 50. Does it look like I'm going to dance to Lady Gaga? Hello, hello, baby, I can hear a thing. I didn't look love you, say it, say Stop going.
I happen to like Poker Face.
You do?
Yeah.
Poker Face, Poker Face.
That's a pretty cool song, huh?
I love that song.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Who doesn't love that song?
Have you ever heard that song by Natalie Portman that she sang on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I don't think it's that funny though.
You don't?
No. Smack. Yeah, shut your mouth. All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, she's cute when she's trying to act all tough and stuff.
I think it was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, most people did. I mean, most people loved it. So let me ask you. So my friends or people that you know, I know, they're like, you know, we work so hard. It's hard. It's hard to have sex. Just making time for it, this,
the
that,
the married
yes.
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like this.
Doesn't sound like a single friend to me.
No, they're married, a married friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like, I get that I don't get it, okay? But
right.
I do realize that there's this stuff's outside my pay grade, you know what I mean?
Right.
I haven't experienced it. But maybe, and I'm not just talking about them, I'm just saying in general, like people, like I know, you know, it's not so much them, but it's stuff you hear, you know, you hear this a lot.
Right.
I feel like people are so, if you're putting off the most life-giving things,
mm-hmm.
and those become chores, but everything else is a priority, it's like misprioritizing. Don't do the bills right now. Don't do the dishes. Just freaking let them wait for a second. Like, do the stuff that matters more. And I'm kind of like, you're mean to tell me that sex, it's hard to do. It's mm-hmm. like a chore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, what is the deal? Wake up at 3 a.m. and do it if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're a guy. I'm sure you're, and I know you like your sleep.
Yeah.
But if your wife was like, you know, middle of the night kind of rubbing up against you and was kind of breathing on you and like licking you or whatever,
mm-hmm.
3 a.m., you'd wake up a bit, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we do that. But, you know, the thing is, though, is that you know what? Like you said, you don't get it, you know?
No, but then help
when
me understand.
When you're in a relationship for a long time, you'll get it, you know? Because
I'm not saying you're going to do it.
With your life, and I understand what you're saying about the dishes and everything, but it's more than that, you know?
But don't you think it's just, I don't get it, but there's something I do get that you guys have lost?
You're saying, like, you got to make time. You got to make
special.
I'm saying, like,
reprioritize. It's like, I think what happens is life can rob you of the things that are important.
Right.
People's relationships fall apart. They don't stay married because everything else is in the way.
Right.
And they don't make it a priority. And then they wonder why they're not working out. Well, it's because the last thing on your list is your marriage.
Right.
You don't put that above everything else. You put everything else above it. Same thing with kids. Like, they'll put their kids above their marriage, and then their marriage falls apart. Or it could be finances and staying on top of this. And now all the other stuff has to be done first for you guys to connect.
Right.
And that's like conditional love. It's saying, I'm not going to be intimate with you. I'm not going to be affectionate with you until you've done all these things. And it's conditional. And I know I don't get it, but I think that there's something that I do get because I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not in it. I see it for what it can be.
There's definitely something in what you're saying. You know?
I'm not saying it's easy.
It makes sense, though.
But don't you think it's kind of ironic? I'm not saying, like, when you've been married for a long time, you're going to do it like rabbits. I understand that.
Right.
It's not like that. But I mean, if you have access to one another, and then people are feeling sexually frustrated, or they're tired, or they're wore out, and they're not, you know, being intimate with their partner, I'm like, what? When did having orgasms become boring?
Right. Or a chore, like you said.
Yeah, they're fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, get freaking, you know, I'm not saying you're going to be a rabbit, but just, you know, knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Do a little 3 a.m.
It makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah, I just think people lose sight because life, again, it can wear you out where you don't have anything left for your, for the person that you love.
Right.
So I'm saying forget it. Like, you know. Do a quickie. Do it. Do the middle. Do it everywhere.
Yeah.
You and Dina freaking do it in this studio.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Leave my marriage out of this.
Hey, man. You talk about all my stuff.
Yeah, but you're not married.
I'm not talking about you guys specifically, really, because I don't know. I'm just saying in general that I hear this. But I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
You know what I mean. You've heard this. I mean, you've experienced
this. No. I understand. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that, you know. So they're saying that Conan O'Brien is taking the show to TBS, the Turner Broadcasting System.
Really?
Yeah. Who the hell is going to watch it there?
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
TBS? What do we got going on TBS? Cartoon Network?
Nothing, really.
Like that? Oh, man, that's kind of a sad little thing.
Yeah. He's probably getting paid pretty well to do it.
Well, didn't you tell me that he got a big check and then they asked him to leave, but he still got the check?
Right. Yeah.
So he's not hurting, right?
Maybe not, but maybe he's dying for a show, and that's the only place he can have it. You know, personally, I don't care. I mean, I never found him entertaining or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's going to be on TBS, huh?
On TBS, yeah. Did you hear about the train derailment in Italy? About 20 people dead. I guess there was a mudslide, and it caused the train to derail.
That's awful.
Yeah. I mean, there's some terrible pictures here.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they show the real?
No, I mean, they don't show the bodies or anything, but it's just all the metal, you know, the crumpled metal and everything. It's just, it's scary stuff, man. I mean, you know, those are some of the things that you can't explain, you know, why do these things happen? Mm. But I guess they have to happen, you know.
Trains always freaked me out.
Yeah?
Do they ever freak you out?
Trains, no.
No?
No. Planes do, but
planes freak you out?
Yeah.
Turbulence.
I haven't taken a train in, like, since I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, like, 1900s, right?
Yeah. At least the turn of the century. Yeah.
You know, back when, you know, there were trains and cattle calls and stuff like that. No, I don't think I've been on a train, but I know there's something about the train that freaks me out.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really hear about a whole lot of train accidents.
No, there aren't, you know. But you know what amazes me is how long it takes for like how expensive it is to take a train.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that they were inexpensive.
They're not. They're pretty expensive, too, you know? You have to check it out and see. If you were, like, to take a train to San Diego, it'd probably be, like, what, $50 each way or something? More?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not cheap.
But what about the metro stuff? That's bus, right?
No.
The bus is the metro. But isn't there, like...
But there's a subway here, but it, you know, it's pretty short.
I know, it's not very long. I've actually taken it from Hollywood to downtown. It's pretty easy.
Right.
it's pretty much a clean little drive, and
it is.
It's
it
easy,
is. It's
yeah.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
It's pretty well kept and really clean. Yeah. I know that there, you know, a few of my friends have taken it from Hollywood to LAX, and they said that's kind of a little scuzzy.
Really? There's one to LAX from Hollywood?
I think so, yeah. But you go, it takes a long time to get there. It goes all the way through South Central. And then,
really?
Yeah, I think through South Central and then through to LAX. And
wow.
And then it's just like, it's too long.
I never realized they had one to LAX. Are you sure about that? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're talking about the buses.
No, I'm talking about the subway.
The subway?
Uh-huh. But wow. It's really long because it kind of goes out of the way and then back
right.
to LAX.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend
so
has taken it.
So much for the
it.
Subway getting you there faster, huh?
You know, and because it stops at all these different stops, I mean, you're not right. It's not smack dab there. You
yeah.
just, people are getting off and on. And my friend, he, you know, he takes it really, really early in the morning. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of sketchy.
Really?
Yeah. But, I mean, in New York, I mean, you kind of have a lot of that, too. Like, it's so, it's the way that most people take
transportation.
Yeah, in New transportation.
York, yeah, in New York, you have to be crazy not to, you know.
To not take the subway, yeah.
Yeah, not take the subway. Because... Mm-hmm. It gets you everywhere, you know, it's there all the time, and it's fast, you know. I mean, driving in New York is crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
And but I mean, like, you see crazy stuff on the subway in New York, too, I'm sure, depending on where
not
you go.
Not really. I mean,
no.
It's been cleaned up and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, it does get, you know, sometimes very busy, very crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was in London, when I went to Israel a few months ago, there was, I went on the subway there mm-hmm. on the underground, and man, during rush hour, you can barely fit in there. I mean, people are like sardines in there. It's just, it's weird. It's weird. It's really weird, you know, to come back home from work and be crammed in a train for, you know, for who knows how long. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not used to that. You know, mm-hmm. we're such a car culture here.
Definitely. Well, especially L.A.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
most of the
what
U.S.
I mean, yeah.
Except for New York and maybe Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, there's many cities
San
where
Francisco.
They're not. Yeah, they use public transportation. But here it's not even evolved, you know.
They well, and I've heard that, you know, yet. This is a car city and they had a lot of politics involved with not pushing through the public transportation.
Right.
Because it's a car. They want it to be a car-dependent city. So, you know.
Who's they?
Politically, like the government at the time had, you know, basically had a lot of, you know, financial backing and support from the car companies to basically kind of, you know, not be aggressive in the public transportation system, but
yeah.
It was kind of a political move. So I've read, you know.
Yeah.
And you
That's
think about it.
If
you,
it did happen.
Well, think about it. I mean, public transportation, like you said, it's gotten better. It hasn't evolved.
Right.
And, think about all the cars here. I mean, they make a killing. They make a killing off of vehicles here.
Yeah.
All
but
the parking.
But it's also, I mean, it's a lot of pollution, a lot of traffic, a lot of congestion, you know. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if we had a good public transportation here, people would probably use it. Not as much as in New York or in mm-hmm. San Francisco, but they would, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was downtown, when we worked downtown, if I had a train that was really convenient, I would go, you know, but here it's like you still have to go to the train station, which is far. They're not all over the place. And then you have to find parking for your car,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to take the train. So it's totally inconvenient, you know. If you have to drive to the train, then it's inconvenient.
No, absolutely. I mean, was it Johnny Dan was saying he go, I think it's in Hollywood, he takes the metro.
Yeah, he takes the train, then he walks.
The subway, he takes the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the underground, and he gets mm-hmm. off at Lancashire, and then he walks here. I was like, I should probably start doing that.
Yeah, you think?
Well, I mean, because I run, and it would get my run in. Because sometimes I just getting that run in. Because we start at 9, I get here at 8:59. And, yeah.
If fully we're lucky.
Yeah. But my point is, you know, I'm not really ready to go at 6 a.m., wake up and start running by 7, finish by 8. You know, I could do that, but I just, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Whereas this would be good. You know, I can get a little jog in. I mean, I just would always be looking gross when I came in. But
yeah.
You don't care.
That's true. No, I don't care. As long as you're here and you can talk, that's fine, you know?
Yeah. So definitely might start looking into doing that. Get my run in.
Yeah. I can't imagine how he does that. I mean, that's a long fucking walk, man.
What does he say? It's like 6 miles every day?
Is it 6 miles?
I think it's 3 there, 3 back.
Oh, really? Is that all?
Let me double check on that.
3? No, it's got to be more than that.
Really? It's Lancashire in North...
It's got to be longer than that. It's probably like 5 miles each way.
Really?
Not more.
That'd be great. That'd be
That's
like,
a lot.
That'd be
it's
like
a lot of walking.
Run for me.
Yeah, but it's got to take forever to walk that far.
I don't know. He looked like he's enjoying it. It's L.A. I was like,
yeah,
who doesn't like a good walk?
Yeah, but it's all distances. It's all big distances here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you going to eat for breakfast? Nothing.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, you know what I think would be good is if I started having like fruit salads in the morning. I think that I can handle.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like fruit.
You don't like fruit?
I like fruit when it's hot outside and I just finished working out because it's like citrus and it's fresh.
Right.
And it's cool. Yeah. And I like that. But that's the only time I like fruit. Like in the morning, I need like sustenance. I like
not watermelon and...
Mm-mm. I always feel like I need kind of heavier food in the morning. I mean, at night I can slim it down, but I like breakfast to be a real meaty, cheesy kind of meal.
I see. Okay, and do you have breakfast every day?
Pretty much. I mean, this morning I even went to Trader Joe's. I was like, get fruit, Kara, just get fruit. And I was like, can't do it.
I'm not going to eat
an orange for breakfast.
Yeah.
I want eggs.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll eat egg whites. It doesn't have, but I want like, you know, meaty stuff.
So do you fix yourself up breakfast every day?
No, I don't, unfortunately. No. I haven't been cooking lately. But we went yesterday. Woo! Woo! We had a good throwdown. We did an after birthday brunch on Sunday morning, and Claire's husband took us all out. It was really sweet, treated us. And we went to a place called Cafe Was. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
We're in Hollywood.
It's in Hollywood. It's really cute, kind of old school Parisian, and kind of like you're sitting in booths that are on different levels, and some of them kind of looks like you're in a theater almost.
Right.
And they're great service. The food was great. I had eggs Benedict with bacon and potatoes.
Had to have that bacon, man. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had bottomless mimosas and coffee and
nice.
It was so good. It was like yummy. I actually want to go make some eggs Benedict. Ooh, I think I will.
Yeah.
Learn how to make
it. Do you like it? Is it pretty good?
I love eggs. I just love eggs. I could probably eat eggs a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love eggs too, but I never tried an eggs Benedict.
You haven't?
It doesn't look that good.
Oh my gosh. No, it's amazing. Now, they did it on brioche, but you should, get like an English muffin that's nice and toasted.
Right.
And then you get a poached egg that's kind of medium to runny, so that way it's, when you cut into it, it runs. And then usually you get like ham is traditional, but you can do sausage, bacon, whatever.
Right.
You can even add like some red onions or avocado or something, just to kind of deck it out how you want usually.
Right.
But there's a meat, the poached egg, the English muffin, and the holiday sauce is kind of like a creamy, cheesy kind of orange juice is actually in it type sauce. And, make sure there's enough spice in there and you cut open and it everywhere. It's so good. You should definitely have some good Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
Please do.
Sounds good to
Please
me.
Please do.
I'll have some.
I think you should.
Why is it associated with rich people, though?
Is it
expensive? Yeah.
I guess Eggs Benedict can be pricey. I guess it can. I mean,
it's there's nothing to it,
I think the one I had was $12.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's considered rich people's food. I don't know why, but it is.
Eggs
like
Benedict.
Caviar and stuff.
Really? Yeah. I don't think it's like that.
Yeah.
I think that it's maybe a more refined breakfast.
Right.
It's not your basic, eggs, bacon, and toast.
Right.
It's kind of a... it's got a sauce, I guess. It's got a fancy sauce from Holland.
Yeah.
It's not from Holland, but... Or maybe it is. I don't know. It's got a fancy little Holland sauce on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Holiday sauce.
Yeah, but it was good, 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 good. We had that, and then we had a friend over last night to where we ate more food. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I got to get some good running in.
Yeah, you do. You're due that you had so much to eat.
Unfortunately, it looks like it's going to rain, so I might do something indoors.
Did you see how it was pouring last night?
It was.
It was pouring, man.
We're like, it's a phenomenon. It's raining in Los Angeles. This is crazy.
Yeah, I actually like it. I wish it rained more during the day, but it doesn't.
Really?
As soon as it warms up a little bit, it stops raining.
Mm.
Yeah. But at any rate. Anyway, Kira, thank you so much.
Sam, thank
you. As always, now you got me all hungry and everything.
Oh, are you going
to
eat?
I'm going to go eat something. I've got to. You got me way too hungry now. And everybody, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Karen in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.